This morning, we start a new series in Psalms, which we've called Dangerous Poetry. Why dangerous? Because the Psalms are all about people being radically honest with God, bearing their souls on a good day, the bad days, and the downright ghastly days. And when you get real with God about what's going on in your inner being, He takes it as an invitation to meet you in those experiences and to transform you through them. So as we look at this ancient Hebrew collection of poems and songs and prayers, which have been written by a number of different authors, we should expect to be changed. One preacher refers to this collection of poems and songs and prayers as being like a box of 150 Lego pieces. And to get the whole picture, we have to use every piece. But of course, we won't be preaching on every single one, nor are we going to preach them in numerical order. But over the next few weeks, we want to focus on some of the key themes that we find in Psalms. Paul has put a short Bible Project video up on our Facebook page, and I'd encourage you to look at that because this gives us an overview of the Psalms. This morning we're going to start by looking at Psalm 46, and Vicky's going to read this to us.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth may give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thanks, Vicky. You know you're having a bad day when you get a knock on your bedroom door at 7 o'clock in the morning and a voice says, "Are you still there? Because your car's not." You know you're having a bad day when you get off a train that's headed to Hastings in Tunbridge and you can't find the key to your car. And it's not even your car, it's one that you've borrowed from a friend. You know that you're having a bad day when on the way out to a party, you misjudge the corner and you end up with your car sitting on top of a stop sign, both of which are now in a field. One or two incidences from my past. But other bad days might include somebody saying, "I no longer love you," or you get accused of something that if it's believed, your reputation will be ruined for life. Or maybe it's a phone call from a medical professional who says, "The news isn't so good," or your boss calls you into their office and starts to tell you how your job is no more. In the moment when the safety of our world shatters, time seems to freeze. It can feel like our heart is no longer beating and our brain goes into slow motion, crazy overdrive. In those moments, what is our first instinct when we're in a state of panic? Where and to whom do we go? During the worst moments of the Reformation movement, when Martin Luther was tempted to despair, he's recorded as saying to his friend Philip, "Come, Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm." He went on to say, we sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and the sin. This psalm, over and above all other scriptures, gave Luther the greatest sense of peace and assurance of God's power in stormy and bad days. Others have said of this psalm, few beat the spirit of sturdy confidence in the Lord in the midst of very real danger as strongly does this one. Luther and others understood that nothing apart from God is secure. This week, we've heard that museums are starting to open again, and it was this news that reminded me of some family days out to the Natural History Museum when Jess was little. She loved the gem room, but I always enjoyed going up the long escalator which heads into a spherical structure resembling the inside of the world. This structure shows how the Earth is made up of tectonic plates. We think we're standing on solid ground, but actually our continents are afloat, continuing to be built and changed by the foundation of the earth, which is constantly on the move. The psalmist who wrote the 46th Psalm may not have understood the science behind earthquakes or volcanoes or tsunamis. And he certainly didn't know the degree to which we have a dynamic and living and changing planet set in an exploding, expanding universe. But what he could say without a shadow of a doubt was that when earthquakes and other disasters come, even when we face stormy winds and crashing waves and every structure of support crumbles away, God is both safe and powerful. We can find refuge in him. Disasters, terrible though they might be, don't need to erode our faith in him. God holds fast nature. He holds fast our warring world. He holds fast our fears in this current crisis and as we move beyond lockdown. He also holds fast our personal times of trouble. We're going to close with the song in a few moments that have these lyrics in the opening lines. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change, one thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. This is the confidence the psalmist calls us to have in God. So rather than put too much confidence in money or jobs or our personality or our skills and experience or coping strategies or even close relationship with family and friend, the psalmist reminds us above everything else, we can trust and should trust in God. Anything else can fail, but God doesn't. So when life is overwhelming us, when the unwelcome, unexpected hits us, when our worst fears materialise and become a reality, the psalmist calls us to be still and to know that he is God. But who is God to us when things take a turn for the worse? For the psalmist, he tells us that God is three things. Firstly, he's a mighty fortress. He's our strong safe room in which we can know protection and security despite the dangers that are around us. Secondly, he tells us God's kingdom is forever. His reign goes beyond the here and the now. And finally, he says God is above all earthly powers. As we've discovered in our teaching series in Hebrews, he is the one who has the greatest authority to effect change in the world and within our hearts. The psalmist picks up on a particular change that God is bringing about in this psalm. He says, God is bringing about peace. One future day, God will bring peace into the world he's created. But in the here and now, he invites us to know an internal peace in our hearts. Despite what is going on around us, God invites us to be still on the inside and cultivate a deep relationship with him in the stormy times, as well as in the calm. He invites us to be still and know that he is God. I like the phraseology in the Passion Translation, which encourages us to pause in his presence. This translation goes on to say, "Come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God, for he brings both ruin and revival. Surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God." The American scholar James McConkie asked the question, "What can you do when you're about to faint physically?" And then he went on to say, "You can't do anything. In your weakness, you just fall upon the shoulders of some strong loved one, you lean hard and you rest until your strength returns. And the same is true when you're tempted to faint under adversity." When we're in a storm, the psalmist calls us to stop battling against our troubles, to limit the energy given to questioning and doubting and trying to fix things our way. Instead, he says, accept we're finite, recognize there's no shame in being powerless, and let God be God. Because it's God who has the authority to still the storm, to heal the world's brokenness, and to bring the dead back to life. The Hebrew word used in this psalm for be still is the word rapha, which has a range of meanings. Let drop, lay down, and stop what you're doing, as well as be weak. And if you're anything like me, I struggle with this biblical instruction. My mind is always active. I tend to overthink things. I'm relatively busy in both the practical and physical sense of the word, and my emotions can easily become stirred up. And those who know me really well might also comment on the lack of my logic and order to an awful lot of my life. For me, letting things drop, laying down, stopping what I'm doing, and being weak are counterintuitive responses in troubled seasons. And yet, in the many storms I've had to face over the years, when I have been able to surrender my reactions and responses to God, I've experienced what the psalmist invites us into. Against the odds, I've experienced the depth of a loving kindness and merciful goodness of God that we've been singing about this morning. As I was preparing this sermon, I had a repeated image of someone standing in the rain and getting soaked to the skin and becoming drenched. And I want to suggest today that this is what God is inviting us to do in him, to stand in his presence and to allow his spirit to permeate every part of our life, to flood through every insecurity and past hurt. I think this morning he's inviting us to become saturated on the inside so that what is going on around us fails to disturb our thoughts, our sleep patterns, our destructive behaviours which pull us down and mess us up. But as I was reflecting on that picture, I remembered something that appeared in the Barbican a few years ago. They installed something called a rain room. Water poured out of the ceiling, imitating a torrential downpour, but movement detecting cameras installed around the room communicated with the raindrops in such a way that they continually moved away from anyone standing in the rain. It made sure that they didn't get wet. I know this is picture language, but I wonder whether, rather than us experiencing the peace-bringing drenching of God's presence, we've become rather adept at protecting ourselves from getting wet. And in this way, we avoid or lose out on God's invitation to really be still and to discover the wonder and the joy of being soaked in God. In a few moments, we're going to sing the song I referred to a few moments ago, which reminds us that God's power and love is greater than any storm or mountain in our lives. But before we do this, I wonder if I can invite you to sit or stand in a way that says you are open for heaven's downpour into your life. I wonder if I can invite you to reflect on those two images. One standing in the rain and getting soaked to the skin and deeper, and the other standing in a rainstorm, but not a raindrop touching you.